Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Podcast Manager Show. If today is your first episode, welcome. I'm so excited that you are here. If you've been listening for a while, thank you so much for coming back. In this episode, we are going to be talking to Chrissy Meriwether, who is a podcast manager, and she is going to be sharing her journey from starting her freelance business to pivoting into podcast management and what her business looks like after a couple years of managing podcasts. All right, let's go talk to Chrissy about her podcast management business. Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hi, Chrissy. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hey, Lauren. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk through your story of how you became a freelancer, how you found podcast management, and then kind of what you've built since then. So let's start with, how did you decide that you wanted to become a freelancer and work online?
So I think that will have to go back a long time ago, longer than when I actually started. When I had my son, who is now 14, it's hard to believe, I had been teaching and I took a year off and I really wanted to be able to provide and contribute to my family, but also be at home. So I remember searching online and trying to find something and never could. So I ended up teaching preschool, which was great because it had the hours I needed, could be a mom first, and that was wonderful. And I ended up having my daughter 2 years later and took some more time off, went back to teaching preschool because that's what I knew and that's what I did. And it fit with the family. But I always had in the back of my mind that I wanted to work from home and I had this feeling that I wanted to do something more. So fast forward till 2018, and I was listening to a podcast, funny enough, and on there was Michaela Quinn, and she was talking about her podcast and how she became a stay-at-home, work-from-home mom. And she left teaching. So it totally resonated with me. So I started listening to her podcast. And in January 2019, I bought her course. And that's how I got into this amazing online work-from-home experience.
Yeah. And I love that you said, like, you kind of just felt like there was something more. And I've kind of had that same feeling of, like, I want to be a stay-at-home mom, but I want to provide and I just want to do a little bit more. And I think sometimes we can just like say, oh, everyone feels that way. Just kind of push it aside and get back to what you're doing. But not everyone feels that way. You know, like we all have a different feelings of like what we should be doing and where we think that our, you know, what our family needs and what we need individually. So I have had to tell myself, like, if you have that little voice in your head that says, I want to do a little more, to listen to it, you know?
Absolutely. What's interesting is that, like you said, I mean, like it was something that I've always had and I did push it back. I was like, well, I can't. I mean, that's just not a possibility. So I feel like now if someone is listening to this and feels that way, there are so many wonderful options now, whereas 14 years ago, it just wasn't that way. So I'm so grateful for all that technology has brought us and how we're able to really make things work. And like you said, just being able to contribute, whether it be for my family and now to my clients, it's a really cool experience.
Right. Yeah. And being in the place of helping your clients and they're trying to also, you know, support their family and balance their life. And as a support person, like we are, we're helping them to make that happen. So it's, yeah, just by having this ability to be a freelancer, you're impacting them and you. And definitely one of the good things about technology.
Totally. Yes, absolutely.
So you found the freelance world through Michaela Quinn. What did you start with as far as your services as a freelancer?
So that is a great question. I knew that I would be starting as a virtual assistant. I mean, that's what I thought I would do. But I guess in February, I saw that you had a course on podcast management. And so I quickly bought that because I love podcasts. And I mean, that's how I found Michaela. So it was just, I loved professional development. I love personal development. So when I saw your course, I was like, okay, this sounds amazing. So I really spent, I was still teaching preschool. So I spent from basically early 2019 till the summer, just taking both courses. And I did some testimonial work and I did some like one-off projects, but I never was hired in the capacity of a virtual assistant. So once I finished your course, I really started, and I know that a lot of people say don't niche down until you've had experience or whatever. And I see the benefits of both, but I immediately just knew that that's what I wanted to do after taking your course. So I niched down. And then by June of 2019, I feel like I'm getting this wrong, but 2020 is such a blur. to June of 2019 is when I got my first podcast launch client. So I kind of went straight into podcast management.
Yeah. And there are these like rules, I feel like, that I even teach of, okay, yeah, it's probably best to start as a virtual assistant. Or is it? It's like we have these like rules. Sometimes they work for people, but I think one of the reasons that I sometimes tell people, you know, don't feel as if you have to niche down soon, you know, because I don't want people to get distracted. Like, it's easy to be like, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try this, I'm going to try this. And it's like, you really just want to get started. So if you know you want to get started with podcast management, then get started with podcast management. But if you're using that as a way to collect courses and not get started, then chill, do the thing that you've started, and see kind of where it takes you and then build from there.
That is so true. And I feel like you hear that shiny object syndrome all the time. Like when you have, there are definitely people that have so many interests, right? Like, oh, I love Pinterest, or I love, you know, doing this and that. And it's like, no, that's great. But I think that's such good advice to really think about what it is that you want to do and then, you know, go from there. And to be a virtual assistant is so such a great way to start out because you do get the opportunity to try lots of different things and get paid for it.
Yeah, 100%. And yes, the whole multi-passionate or having lots of things that you want to try, I am definitely one of those people. Like I have like 100 hobbies. But I heard something on a podcast episode, of course, one time that said that as a service provider, if you can focus on one service and you can land clients and you can build a business and meet your financial needs, then you can do other things. But until we really meet like whatever financial needs that we have that we need to meet, we can't have like 100 hobbies, you know, because if you just have all these things going and but you're trying to make, you know, $1,000 a month, none of that's going to pan out. Like you have to focus on one thing to meet your financial needs and then you have more space. Or in like my case, I can then do this podcast. I can do other things that don't bring in income directly because I've focused on like the one thing that works in my business, you know?
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Totally. And I love that because then it does enable people to pursue those other passions or other things. It's like, it doesn't mean you can't do it. Just maybe not do it all at one time.
Yeah. Okay, so then you said in June you had your first launch client and that was, you're like, okay, you've got clients, you're a podcast manager now. What did it look like, I guess, leading up to 2020?
So I love that question because because I was doing this interview, I really sat down and kind of reflected back and having that launch client, I think it was just like you said, okay, I'm a podcast manager. Like I was able to own that role and everything kind of snowballed from there. So from June till I guess September, I landed 4 more clients. And so I launched 2 more, 1 client. I'll quickly tell the story because I think it's so cool because I still have her. I found her in a Facebook group probably in the spring of 2019 and she was looking for podcast help. She'd already launched. And we commented back and forth, but then nothing ever happened. And so I continued to follow her podcast and noticed she wasn't releasing any episodes during the summer. So I just sent her an email, found her email address, sent her an email and just said, hey, we connected, you know, and basically just said, would love to help you out. And she responded and I've been working with her ever since. So it's kind of a cool story that and a reminder that you just kind of never know when something's going to pan out just because it didn't work out, you know, in the spring. And to be frank, maybe I wouldn't have been ready, but in the fall I was, and she was too. And, she, and I think she had realized too, she didn't want to do that anymore. She wanted to outsource. So it kind of snowballed from there. And, I was fully booked. I couldn't take on any more clients, and it was great. And then 2020.
Well, before we launch into 2020, I love that story that you plant. I just feel like you plant seeds with networking, you plant seeds, and let's say you plant 20 seeds and, you know, maybe you hope 5 bloom into clients or 2, you know, but you plant seeds and you just don't really know in the coming months what's going to happen. But also, I want to point out that you showed her that you, like, you cared. You followed her show. You really enjoyed her show and you wanted her to be a client. And maybe every person we talk to, we're not like 100% passionate about their show and we're going to listen to it afterwards and all of that. But if you find those people that you do feel that way about, like you truly love their show and you follow up with them, you show to them that, hey, I noticed that you're not releasing episodes right now. I'd love to help. Then it's just so much more of that genuine connection, and people then are able to connect with you more on a actually connect with you and want to then hire you to help.
Yeah. And it definitely is such a better place to be in. And I know that you've spoken to this a lot, is how awesome to be working on a podcast, especially if you're editing it, right? That you would listen to anyways, or you would want to listen to. So it makes it just more enjoyable for me. But then also I feel like because I am her ideal client, because I listen to her podcast, then I can also give her tips and help her in other ways, being someone that listens to her podcast. So I think it's like a win-win situation.
Yeah, definitely. With you being her ideal listener, it definitely helps with like the content piece of it and writing like episode descriptions and things like that, because you can just be in her mind, but also be in the listener's mind very naturally.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay, so I do want to talk about your first and second and third launch. Like, was that something that felt really, did you kind of build it up in your head, or how did those go? Because I think that's one thing that people kind of anticipate, like, oh gosh, is this going to go well?
I think that's such a great question, because looking back, I remember being so scared and nervous, because it seems like such a big deal, and it is a big deal. But I will say, I remember too, you early on saying that launches were like your favorite thing to do. And I remember being like, what? Like, how is that her favorite? And now I get it. It is my favorite now too. So the biggest thing I will say is, if you can break it down into pieces, it's really not a big deal. And what helps break it down into pieces is your program. Like, I can't tell you how many times I went back, especially those first couple, and just would rewatch your video, you know, and just go back through the course. And it really, really helped make it not seem like this scary thing. It was mm-hmm. really very doable. So, and then definitely once you get one or two under your belt, it's like, okay, yeah, got this. And then it helps even from that front end piece of when you're either talking to potential clients or you're getting ready to launch, like you really have your system down and you have the confidence. So,
yeah. And I even say, like, if you haven't launched a podcast yet and you feel nervous about it, tell your potential client, hey, I haven't done this before, but I feel confident and I have the resources to do it, because then you acknowledge it. So you don't feel like you have to know everything. And I think it's such a sweet spot that a lot of podcasters, they don't know any of the back end piece. And so you already have so much knowledge that they don't have. So it's, you have to remember that you have knowledge that they don't have. You can help them, but you don't have to act like you know everything when you don't. You know, be honest with them. And if they're on this, they'll then be on the same page with you with, okay, this is her first one, but I know she's going to be able to help me and we'll be able to figure things out as we go.
I think that is so huge. And I think that that's what you always helped with, no matter what, is just kind of being honest, but also the reality of you do know more than they do. And you're bringing so much to the table that they need. They don't want to spend the time learning how to do this, you know, and you are, and you have, and you have the resources. So mm-hmm. I think that is such a confidence builder. And I think that that's half the battle. So
yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. So then let's go to 2020. How did your business change and grow in 2020?
So first off, one of my clients was just releasing in seasons. And so her season wrapped up end of 2019. So she opted to take a break and has never done another season. So lost one client. Then, of course, March came around. And so one of my clients went from releasing weekly episodes to releasing just two a month. So from that standpoint, like, that kind of took a hit, you know, as far as whether it be income or just, you know, the work that I was doing. But at the same time, it was craziness. You know, kids were homeschool or, you know, virtual learning. And so it was kind of, well, I don't want that to happen. It almost happened in a way that made things doable as a mom and for our family. So once we got into the summer and things kind of panned out more, I definitely started reaching out more, getting, you know, getting into Facebook groups more and just doing things that I probably should have been doing all along, just staying, you know, networking and continuing to build relationships. So I've signed on two new clients since then. One already had a podcast and she found me in a Facebook group. And then the other was, funny enough, just a friend from long ago through in education who we stayed in touch and had always wanted to launch a podcast. So helped her launch hers as well. So again,
that's cool.
Reflecting back on these past 2 years, it is amazing just how important relationships are and just to continue cultivating them. And whether it's with other, you know, podcast managers or people that are doing different things, and just, you know, it's so helpful from the personal level of having friends when you can miss that interaction with people if you're not used to working from home, to really helping build your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things that I've been trying to remind myself lately is that I built my business so that I could have flexibility with being a mom and but still doing stuff like we talked about in the beginning. But at the same time, I feel like our minds can change. They can flip to like only business growth. And so it's like March 2020 happens and you lose some work. But then you have to remind yourself, like, wait a second, this is actually the reason I'm an entrepreneur, is so that my business can be flexible and so that I can work more when it makes sense and less when it makes sense. But that's not always how my brain works. It's like, no, it has to be always upward climbing.
Totally. And I love that you said that, because at the time, I mean, it felt not like a failure, but it felt hard, of course. But then at the same time, it was like you said, it's like, I did have to check myself. I'm like, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, I mean, on the flip side, I did think about if I were teaching preschool, I would have been online teaching preschool. Like, that's not what I wanted to be doing. So I had to really kind of check myself. And I do that. Like, that's a good point. I do have to do that quite a bit, just to say, okay, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, so that I can be a mom first and also have that joy and fulfillment that comes from having something that's my own and I'm helping other people. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to remind myself that all the time as well. And like, over, you know, breaks like Christmas break or summer break, I then am like, oh gosh, this is so hard. I want to work more. And it's like, of course I do, because I am used to working more when my girls are in preschool, but then they're not in preschool. So it's like, you have to just acknowledge, like, wait, the seasonality of this is a life as a mom, you know? And if, of course, we can build different types of lives if we want, but this is actually what I wanted. So yes, acknowledge that and be okay with just like, sometimes it's tougher, sometimes it's easier, and that's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. The ebb and flow of it all. And just like you said, just being like, you know what, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. So it's okay that it's hard right now, or it's okay that it's not exactly the picture perfect, but it is ultimately, I would rather be doing this than what I had before.
Totally. So I wanted to ask you about, you said that one of the clients that you've landed is someone from your personal life. So did you promote your business to your personal life? Like, how have you handled that over the years?
So I'm pretty private. So that has been a difficult thing as far as trying to be a business owner, entrepreneur, or an online presence, I guess is a better way to say it. So I'm working on that. But as far as especially thinking about this client, we've always, like I said, kept in touch, and she's very big on social media. So because she's posting all the time, you know, I will respond here and there. And I did say to her, I sent her a message. I was like, I think you need to start a podcast, because she will write these things on her Instagram and whatever. And it's so moving. And she's such a big, like, she's always pushing people to be their best and whatever. So anyways, so I say, I think you need to start a podcast. And she was like, actually, that's on my vision board this year. And I was like, oh my gosh. So it didn't happen right away. She ended up reaching out again. She's doing this podcast with a friend of hers. And so they interviewed me, they talked to other people. So it wasn't just a, oh, you're my friend, so I'm going to hire you. Mm-hmm. But definitely, I mean, I'm sure it helped that we had that, you know, relationship. So getting back to your question of how I handled like the personal part, I definitely have room to grow for putting myself out there and really letting people know what I do. And that is a goal that I'm going to be working on.
I'm the same way. And I was actually back when I was just a service provider before I started the course. I loved that about it. I loved that I could have a business online and not tell anybody. I just like reveled in it. It was like, oh, this is so great. Like I don't have, probably because back in 2012, I started a MLM business and that was the opposite. And I was super into it. It was fitness. I loved it. I did it for like 4 months. And of course I told everybody online. And so I was like, I was still kind of scorched from that experience whenever I started my freelance business in 2017, basically. So I loved that I didn't have to sell anyone online. I loved that I wasn't having to like make a list of personal friends. And like, that felt so right to me. And I love that you've built this whole business and you said you're still like, oh, I probably should be active online, but do you need to be?
I love that. And I think that that's why this has been always been so attractive to me because of that. And I also started an MLM. Let's see. It was during, well, I was teaching preschool. But so I had that in the back of my mind of, I told all these people and it didn't work out. So why would I go to all these people what I'm doing now? So yeah, it is. It's a great feeling to be able to do this and not have to be like pushing yourself to be something you're not. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think another thing I love about what I'm doing now is it is pushing me professionally and personally out of my comfort zone, which is so good because I'm the type that I will just stay here and not move anywhere else. And it's so important too, because we're not going to grow if we don't. Mm-hmm. So that being said, the reason why it is a goal of mine to be more of an online presence isn't so much that I want to sell to my friends, right? Like not bashing MLM at all, but I know that that's a way that I can help, you know, potential clients, and I can help people. So mm-hmm. It's just a different way of looking at it. And I know that that's important. And so instead of me saying, you know what, I'm not going to do it because I don't feel comfortable doing it, it's like, you know what, I'm going to do it because it's what's best.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I really like that. So that makes me want to ask you, do you really like working with those like early on podcasters that are like, I have a message, I just need to get it out there?
I do. I definitely do. I like that. But at the same time, it's funny because I've obviously have clients that I've launched and I've helped them with all the beginning parts, which is so fun. But then I also have clients that they've already started their podcast and they're coming to me and saying, okay, well, what can I do differently? And is there another way that I can, you know, market my podcast? Should I try, you know, doing YouTube? Should I try doing that? So I love the aspect of helping, whether it be helping the person, if it's like their passion project, or if it's their business, helping them figure out the best way to relate to their audience and get their message out.
Yeah, I like that. So for someone who is starting their podcast management business in 2021, do you have any sort of advice for that person?
Yes, I definitely think that you just need to start. My biggest advice to anyone who is listening and is even thinking about it is to just do it, because the way that I think back on the decisions I've made is the only regret I've had is that I didn't do things sooner, and it's never too late to start. And so just do it. Like, you won't regret it. And then I remember listening to somebody talking about, you know, when you make a decision, a lot of times we can get held back because we're thinking about what it's going to look like tomorrow or next week. Well, what about next year? You know, how will your life look next year? So if you love podcasts, if it's something that you think that you would enjoy doing, then I say just do it.
Yeah, definitely. And that makes me think, what does your day look like right now? because like you said, you used to teach preschool and your kids are 14 and 12. So what does like your everyday look like right now?
So I am super fortunate that they are going to school in person. So, and my husband is going into the office. So it, other than the fact that we can't do much outside of school and work, it's pretty similar to how it was pre-COVID. That being said, so I try and work from like when they're at school, obviously from like 9 till 12, 8 till 12. And then the afternoons are my, you know, my kids and my family. I generally will work a little bit over the weekend here and there, but for the most part, I feel very fortunate that I can get everything done I need to while they're in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for that. Part of me is like, I can't wait till all my girls are in school, but I'm like, I know I don't want to rush it.
No, you don't want to rush it.
Yeah. As soon as I have those thoughts of, you know, like whenever I ask myself, like, okay, am I done having kids? Because I have three. Is three going to be the number or is four going to be the number? I'm like, oh, but if I have another one, then I just start that. I'm just in this phase for longer. But then I know I remind myself like it's so good.
I know. And it does. And it goes by so fast, but that's what's so great about what you're doing because you're able to be there with them and really relish in that. And I know, and there will be a time, like we talked about the seasons, there will be a season where you're like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Like they're all in school. I can get everything done and whatever. But then you're also like taking them to soccer and ballet and, you know, you're just in your car all the time. So it is, it's, it's a trade-off in their different seasons. And I think the most important thing is, like you just said, just enjoy and appreciate what you have.
Yes, 100%. So what are you hoping to build with your business this year?
So that is a great question. I am so fortunate and thankful that I am where I am. I definitely want to grow and to build. I think the main thing, I mean, we talked about growing my online presence and just being more, I think, confident in that. And so I feel like that is really where I need to grow, is being, changing my mindset to be more of a business owner versus just, this is just something I'm doing. Kind of like we talked about, I mean, it truly is, if you think back to what you said of how you felt when you first started and how I felt, is, oh, I can do this and nobody really has to know. It's so cool. It's like, you know what? But that's not really the mindset of like someone who owns their own business. Like,
yeah,
I need to like own that and be excited about it. And I think that that will really help catapult my business, but also help me with my clients too. Because if I have that mindset of like, I am, this is my business and I own it, I think it can only benefit them as well. So
definitely. Yeah. And it's also just one of those things that we do as women to say, oh, this is just like a small side hustle that I have going. It's like, but is it? It's probably not. And so starting with the mentality of, hey, I can start this and I don't have to contact all my friends. Like, that's great. But yeah, how can you kind of move into more of that, like people say, CEO role and really embody like, hey, this is something I need to take seriously. You know, if a business has been given to you, this is how I see it. Like I did the MLM, I did other things that did not work, did not pan out. And then all of a sudden it kind of felt like I was given a business and I feel so grateful to then take it seriously. Because if we don't take even the business that we've been given seriously, then we're really just doing a disservice to a gift that I think has been given to us.
That is so well said. And that is exactly how I feel. Like, I'm like, okay, you tried this on, it fits. Now go with it. Like, stop trying to be like, well, but is this, no, it is.
Yes.
So go and make the most of it. And the only way to do that is really be in, like you said, that CEO role and that mindset. And I do think so often as women and, you know, a mom, it's like, oh, but you know, my family's first. And, you know, I think that that is so well said. And that is my goal. That is what I'm going to be working on.
Yeah, no, I love that. And that goes right hand in hand with building a social media presence. Those are good. So I'm excited to see what 2021, that's a mouthful, what 2021 brings for you in that way.
Oh, thank you so much. And I cannot thank you for all that you have done for me and all those that are in the podcast management space, because it's not just people in the group, but in the space in general, and just what you continue to do. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And also it's been so great to connect with you over the last 2 years. Sometimes it feels like a lifetime. And then sometimes it's like, a blip of, you know, it's been a blip of an eye. So
yeah,
wild.
Well, and one of the things that you did say when we were talking before the interview is the 2 year mark, right?
Yes. So January 15th is the 1 year, or sorry, the 2 year mark. I'm so bad at celebrating things. Like, I'm like, wait, I should do like a giveaway and, you know, be making this a huge deal. And I should also like write down the day I started my podcast and like, I need to be better at celebrating things. But yes, January 15th, 2019 is whenever I started the pod. What did we used to call it? The podcast manager. Jumpstart.
Yeah.
I remember someone actually told me, like a business coach person. He wasn't my business coach, but it was someone that was kind of mentoring me. And she was like, it doesn't seem like a jump start.
Yeah, it's like, not okay. A jump start. It's a course.
Yeah.
It's a program.
It started as a jump start. And so that's why I got rid of that name, was because someone was like, hey, this is not a jump start anymore. I'm like, okay, I can shed that. So yeah, it's not, it's the podcast manager program now. But yeah, 2 years ago that it was started. So it's been such a fun ride.
Amazing. So awesome.
Yeah. So where can people connect with you, since you're going to be building your social media presence? Where can people connect with you?
Yes. Yay. Okay. So I am on Instagram, Chrissy Merriweather. I have a website, chrissymerriweather.com. And also you can find me on Facebook too. So hopefully Instagram is where I'm planning on. And then I've heard all these great things about, oh gosh, what's it called?
Clubhouse.
So I need to get on to Clubhouse too.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where Clubhouse moves, because there was so much excitement like the first week. And now it's like, I feel like people are like, do I like it? Do I not like it? So I'm interested to see where that goes in 2021.
Yeah, it'll be super fun to see what is in store for all of us in 2021.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again, Chrissy, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton, or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook, and let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.